cheer up. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk and welcome you to the first hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Now, you can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the Internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got Internet access. Now, the best way to pick up the stream, go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. And oh, what a gorgeous Sunday morning have we got going here. I'm sitting in on top of the hill looking west over Mercer Island. I can see city, downtown Seattle easily, and the Olympics are beautiful. Lots of snow, blue sky, puffy clouds. View across the table. Well, we're back to normal. Animal World production engineer Gary Hill is here, although I have to say, not quite as bright-eyed and bushy-tailed as usual. And, you know, he was out sick last week. So, hey, good morning, Gary. Welcome back.
Hi. It's good to be back.
Thanks for being here. Did you have the swine flu like Sandy did?
I don't think it was the swine flu. Just run-of-the-mill. Actually, it's even worse than run-of-the-mill, but just flu.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, you're usually... There's no twinkle in the eyes over there. So you're still healthy.
It's
been a long time.
I'm still sluggish.
Well, we wish you well and hope you recover quickly. And Mary and Finley, wife and daughter, are okay so far.
They're doing fine, which is good news. So
yeah, that's
hopefully
good.
Hopefully it stays that way.
All right, in the other room. Ah, see, mouth is shut. That would be Animal World's co-producer and call screener, Sandy Gaston, is here. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning.
And how are you feeling today?
I'm feeling bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. I was telling Gare he didn't even get in trouble last week.
Not once.
Valerie did a great job.
He was sick. I mean, he couldn't get in trouble when he was sick.
Well, it's a good thing, because we would have had to yell at him and he was sick. And
right.
That wouldn't have been a nice thing
that
to do.
That would have been sad.
So it was a good thing.
That would have been so sad.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm sure you were glued to your radio listening to us on Sunday morning, even though you were feeling terrible. You don't have
I had the ability to do nothing last Sunday.
Right.
I was, you wouldn't want to see me last Sunday.
Well, yeah, but Valerie did a nice job.
I'd never called in sick before.
No, in all the years.
Yeah.
You've been here. You've not been here.
Planned absences
because of sporting events,
right.
When you couldn't be two places at once. But that's the first and only time you've ever been sick.
Yeah.
So we'll see. You got it away. Got it out of the way for the next how many years?
Yeah, however long. Yeah. Six, whatever.
So you've used up your sick card.
Yeah.
Hey, okay. All right, now. There's a reason why Sandy is so bright-eyed and bushy-tailed today, besides the fact that the sun is out and it's
That's a gorgeous
Sunday morning. And that is because two of our favorite and most popular guests are back. In the studio with us, Helen Thayer is here, Venture Travelers, and Bill is here, although we never really hear from Bill. His presence is just felt. But Helen is here. Good morning, Helen.
Good morning.
And we just, I can't wait to hear all about it, because you are, I was going to say, hot off the presses, but I mean hot off the airplane.
That's right.
You haven't been back, you've only been back in town a couple of 3 days or
yeah,
so.
Yeah, just a few days. Yeah, we're still going through culture shock at the return.
Yeah, well, you guys look great, so you must have had a fabulous trip.
Oh, yeah, we always do. Mm-hmm.
I swear you guys are getting younger.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, yeah? Amazing. Well, we were going to hear all about that adventure. Travelers Helen and Bill Thayer are here. And if you don't know who they are, if you've got computer access and can tune in while you're listening to the show, go to Helen's website, www.helenthayer, and that's T-H-A-Y-E-R.com. Check out everything that they've done in their short life so far. Absolutely amazing. What, Mount Rainier 23 times?
21.
21 times. Oh, see, I'm giving you extra credit.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, I think extra it has extra
two trips in there.
Well, it's good weather today. Maybe I should ride up there today.
Now, I don't know about you. You come down from the same direction that I do. You're up, I'm in Monroe, you're out in the mm-hmm. Snohomish
yeah,
area.
We
were fairly close. Yeah,
we
ran into, I think I told y'all that after a show a few months ago, I ran into to Helen and Bill with Helen's mom. I got to meet
yep.
your mom.
Mm-hmm.
We ran into each other at the gas station. Oh,
that's
well,
right.
Still, I love being back in Monroe. But anyway, and hopefully, y'all think there's anybody listening? You know, do you think everybody remembered to spring forward this morning? I'm amazed, quite honestly, that I'm actually...
See, your clock's wrong.
I know. Well, you know, the clocks don't... They don't get changed for a while here in the studio.
I guess I can do that at some point.
I noticed that when we recorded my promo, the computers have changed, but I think they change automatically.
Yeah.
But the other ones that require human changing have not been changed.
It takes a while for the humans to get to do it.
Yeah, yeah. So we're actually an hour ahead. And, of course, so it could be that our whole audience is still sleeping because they're not up.
You'll have to wake them up.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see who shows up at technically 10 o'clock, which would really be nice. See, anyway, I sprung forward.
Mm-hmm.
You all sprung forward. We're all here at the correct time. Changed all my clocks yesterday evening, and then I kept confusing myself because I wasn't sure what time it was. Oh, man.
Some of ours are changed so much, so we were very confused at our house.
Yeah, well, anyway, I'm amazed because y'all know that's why we play Red mm-hmm. Robin to start the show. I'm not necessarily technically a morning person. And so, but I have to say, I don't know how it was for you, Helen, coming in, but what a spectacular morning.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was like drop-dead gorgeous.
Yeah.
I have no idea where this came from, but I'm driving out of my driveway and down the road, and I'm seeing, I mean, there are all the pastures, because a lot of open pasture land around me when I get out of my little forested area, and the frost covering everything. Mm-hmm. So, and the dinger going off in my car telling me the temperature's dropping. Mm-hmm. And it was like about 31 out there. But frost covering all the grass. And then the sun coming up over the mountains.
It's perfect.
Now, and there I'm looking at the Cascades, I'll tell you what, it was spectacular. Anyway, I'm driving down this little road, and this little thought comes in my mind thinking, wow, if mornings were all this gorgeous, I mean, I might turn into a morning person. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, huh, where did that come from? Oh, but I mean, I had to admit, it was absolutely gorgeous.
We're definitely, in our house, we're all morning people, and to get up and see the sunrise is pretty special for us.
Yeah. Now, see, I enjoy the sunset, but I also enjoy going out and looking at the stars and, you know, watching the movers and all that kind of stuff. I love that. But I also realized this morning there is a reason to be up at the crack of dawn.
It's good to be a morning person.
Yeah, and it was extra morning. Mm-hmm. And if there was just something different an hour earlier, you know, with the time change.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it was interesting. There was actually more people on the road. There was a longer line at my espresso stand. And just more people than there usually is on Sunday morning.
Mm, maybe they're trying to wake up with some coffee.
I guess. I don't know. There just seem to be more people on the road. And I tell you, for any of you that travel Sunday mornings, if you travel northbound on 405, I've noticed every Sunday morning there's been a major speed trap at the Northeast 70th Street. Did you see that coming down?
We saw that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the clue is as you're coming south on 405, you start seeing flashing lights and people mm-hmm. pulled over in the Kirkland area. Mm-hmm. And then you're coming down, and the last week, there was like six or seven police cars there at this little place where they...
We saw they had a lot of... the police had a lot of paying customers this morning.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. They had two pulled over when I came down.
Business was brisk.
Yeah, it is at that. Well, they can catch you coming up out of Bellevue, and as you cross 520, and then you kind of come up an incline at that Northeast 70th, and the Bridal Trails area. And it's right as you come over that hill. See, then they're sitting there with radar and they nab
you.
Yeah, if you're not paying attention. So anyway, just a warning, Sunday mornings, that's where all the police are. That's all the State Patrol in this area. They're all there. So let's see, what's up today? We are going to be finding out how Helen and Bill did out in the middle of nowhere in Africa, living with a native tribe. And apparently they did great because they look absolutely fabulous. They even look, you guys look brighter and better than you did when you were here prepping for the trip.
That means we need to go very, very often.
Yeah. It does
you
good for being out there in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see. To start with, I've got an expanded food recall alert. I'll tell you about that. I've got a follow-up on what Dr. Bill was talking about and the McCain supplement bill last week. Oh, I've got some follow-up and animals in the news, some good news about animals. We will have, as usual, about 10:50 today, current events. Got several new items on the current events list. 11 o'clock, we'll run Martha's four-step flea plan because spring is coming our direction, and temperatures are warming up, and when the cherries are blooming and all that stuff, it means the fleas are going to start blooming too. So if you want to deal with them without chemicals, we'll run that at 11. And then our Robin Alexis Soul Spa giveaway is happening this hour. We will do it at the bottom of the hour, so get ready for that. And if you don't know what we're talking about, Robin Alexis does Mystic Radio live at noon on Wednesdays, I believe, here on KKNW, 1150 AM, and her website is absolutely phenomenal. This is a one-year free subscription to her Soul Spa, which is absolutely phenomenal. The energy portals, the meditations, the chat rooms, and all of the great bonuses that you get being a member. This giveaway is for new members only. But you must have checked out the website, so we're sure you can navigate it, www.robinalexis.com. Go to the website, sign up to be a free member of the website, which gives you a member, a username and password, because you will need that to win the giveaway. You will need a username and password from robinalexis.com, and you can get that for free. So check it out, make sure this is something you'd be interested in, and then get ready for the giveaway at about 9:30 or so this morning. Well, let's see. To get started. And, oh, man, it is just gorgeous. Oh, and you know what's going on at my house? The cat run is getting built, and it's so exciting. I'm excited. The cats are excited. Now, I also have to mind my P's and Q's, Sandy. And, Gary, you can pay attention. Because we now know that there is, in fact, AM reception for 1150 KKW in Monroe. Because my guys building the cat run have their radio out there and they can listen to the show. So they're listening. But I would only say nice things about them anyway because they're doing a fabulous job.
How big is it?
20 by 22 feet.
How many cats? It's
huge. Well, I only have two. Mm-hmm. You know, two older kitties at the moment. However, I suspect there will be more coming.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the biggest cat run I've ever done. The first cat run I did at the farm. And it was maybe 10 by 12.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I moved into the city to take care of my dad, I put the biggest cat run I could put at that house, but it was maybe half the size of the first one, so it was probably like 8 feet long by maybe 5 feet wide.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a smaller, about half the size of the farm one. Well, this one is almost twice the size. It's 20 by 22.
Mm-hmm.
We're building it around a big old cedar stump. So they'll be able to climb and play in the cedar stump, and it's going to be absolutely fabulous.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
We have three cats, and we've been wondering about something like that ourselves. So.
Yeah, and they're going to have the first cat run, they could just go through a cat door in the wall to get out in the run. It went directly out. In the Seattle house, they actually had to go up a scratching post, a climbing post, through a cat door at the top of the ceiling, and then through an 18-foot tunnel under an add-on portion of the house, and then out into the cat run. So that was pretty creative.
Yeah.
This time, they're going to have a skywalk.
Wow.
Yeah, because the cat run couldn't be put right up flush against the house. It's 4 feet away from the house. So they'll have a little skywalk. So they'll go through a cat door in the house and then across their little sky bridge into their cat run. It'll be very cute.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. Very excited. So that's my exciting news. All right. That will continue to be the best good news about animals for some time to come, I think, so I'm excited. All right. Get to this recall I told you about. All right, and this is going to throw out my automatic pilot because I'm used to see out of the corner of my eye, I check the clock all the time because I'm basically responsible for keeping us on track. And, of course, I'm looking at it, and it says 8:15. So I'm thinking, what the heck am I doing here?
We should still be asleep.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Hey, Sandy, I don't know. It's this Nature's Variety. Did you hear that they've expanded their national recall?
No. What are they recalling now?
Well, it says Nature's Variety expands nationwide voluntary recall to include all raw frozen chicken diets with any best if used by date on or before 2/5/11. For anyone who feeds Nature's Variety raw, this is a voluntary recall. Now, this is the person who's writing this, interesting, says, I wonder if the company has been harassed. Has anyone else heard that they, FDA, hold the raw dog food producers to an unreasonable standard? Of course, there are going to be bad things present in raw food that aren't present in cooked food. I personally believe the benefits of raw food outweigh the bad. I would have to say I agree with that, but I have no idea if that statement might be as far as FDA harassing them or something. I don't know. And it's the products may possibly be contaminated with salmonella, which can affect humans handling the products and sometimes the animals that eat them. Normal, healthy immune system animal is going to process that stuff no problem. Like Kleckner syndrome animals whose immune system is compromised may not be able to. At any rate, all raw frozen chicken diets made by Nature's Variety with a best if used by date on or before February 5, 2011. Okay. Now, last week, Sandy, and Gary, last week you weren't here. Dr. Bill Burlingame was in the house doing Vet Sunday with us, and he mentioned, remember, Sandy, he was talking about the Senator McCain's anti-supplement bill?
Right.
Well, he sent me all the stuff. There's apparently good progress is being made to get this bill squelched, because kind of the bottom line is, well, let's see, for any of you just coming into the conversation now, Senator McCain's misnamed Dietary Supplement Safety Act, so it's referred to as DSSA, would repeal key legislative protections for supplements. It would give the FDA arbitrary authority to pre-approve a discrete list of supplements and dosages while banning all others. This would almost certainly lead to a highly restrictive European-style regimen with very few approved supplements and dosages. So the move is to get you to, sign the petitions and send the emails to get them to squelch this bill. And I was hoping to just be able to give you an easy website. And I can give you our web address to go and deal with this. But to actually to get to the pages that have this information for you to take action, the web addresses are just so ridiculously long and complicated that there's no way I can give them out over the air. So I'll give you the basic website here that has this update on the anti-supplement bill and links to go that you'll be able to find this article and links to go to the action pages. And so get your pens and papers handy, because I'm going to do that pretty quick. But then, Gary, you'll notice when you go to our email stuff, I forwarded some emails last night to our Animal World Live account, and those emails have the information and the links to the action pages. So, folks, if you don't find what you're looking for at the website I'm going to give you now and you want this information, you could They could email us here, and then you could forward those emails to them, right? Okay. So you can send us a quick email to animalworldlive@hotmail.com. Animalworldlive@hotmail.com. And just say you want McCain Bill info, and then Gary can forward these emails to you. And if you aren't unable to do that during the show today, or if you are listening to the show on the archives after the fact, then you could email me, Martha Light, LIGHT, at AOL.com, or go to MarthaNorwalk.com and click on Contact Martha. Send me an email and say you want the McCain Bill info, and I'll forward you those emails. So here comes the address, www.anh, A as in Anne, N as in Nancy, H as in Hannah, dash USA.org. ANH-USA.org. And I think if you type in Senator McCain's anti-supplement bill, then you'll come up with this page. So there you go on that. All right. Little follow-up after last week. Sandy, you know, we had the big discussion about the sage grouse.
Right.
It was in the news last week about the fact that the current administration spent a lot of money examining the sage grouse situation to decide whether or not they should be listed as an endangered species. And they found out that, yes, in fact, they are threatened and they're endangered and they should be listed. But they decided to postpone the listing and just observe, their excuse being there are more species more in need of protection right now than the sage grouse, but it really means that they're kowtowing to the powers that be, which is the, you know, energy conglomerate, the one that drill for oil or oil shale or minerals and that kind of stuff, and they don't want an endangered species listing in the areas that, of course, would curtail what they're doing. So that's the bottom line. So anyway, not surprisingly, that an environmental group is challenging the Interior Department plans to classify that plans to classify sage grouse as a candidate for protection and not as threatened or endangered. The department announced Friday that protection is warranted but precluded by higher priorities. Let's see. Western Watersheds questions that finding in a supplemental complaint filed Monday. So it didn't take them long to file, but they filed in U.S. District Court in Boise, Idaho. So we'll see what happens. Okay. Oh, and apparently this problem hasn't been resolved. The pilot of a U.S. Airways jet reported a bird strike and an engine problem shortly after takeoff from an upstate New York airport on Thursday, forcing the plane to turn back and make an emergency landing. The pilot declared an emergency 2 minutes after leaving Rochester's airport, and the plane hit Canadian geese at about 2,000 feet and had a problem with two engines. Fortunately, for the 124 passengers and crew, they landed safely. Mm-hmm. But so, obviously, that's bird strike's still going on. Oh, here's an interesting case. This week, you could go and try in search of this, Helen. Mm-hmm. A lone wolverine still looking for a date. You can look this up in Seattle Times. A lone wolverine, and there's a picture. I didn't know what a wolverine looks like. But a lone wolverine discovered in California almost 90 years after the species supposedly went extinct is apparently searching for a mate that he may never find. It's a fascinating story. It's a long article, but the carnivore, they have dark fur and a telltale almond-colored stripe, and this one was first photographed in 2008 roaming the Tahoe National Forest. Now the dilemma here is the finding caused a sensation among wildlife experts because nobody's figured out how the wolverine found its way to the Sierra. The nearest relatives are thought to be two states away. So this wolverine either somehow marched from Idaho all the way across the Sawtooth and Cascade Ranges, a trek of at least 800 miles to get to where he is in California. Or they're saying someone transported him there. So, Helen, that's what you think? You think somebody?
We read that article, and Wolverines, we've spent a lot of time among Wolverines in the Canadian Yukon and Alaska.
Oh, really? Okay.
And they hang around, the boys will hang around where the girls are. They might not live with them all the time, but, you know, an 800-mile trek, it's a pretty big stretch.
So you'd vote for the fact that a human probably transported.
Yeah, we don't know, but that's where our vote would go.
Okay. Threw this one in just because it was interesting. I didn't know they still did this. Florida conch shell contest winner doubles his talent. You know the big pink conch shells? Well, I've got one on my shelf that I've had since I was a kid. Got down at Fisherman's Terminal in San Francisco years and years and years and years ago. Well, apparently in Key West, Florida, they have a blow the conch shell contest every year. 40 people entered this year, and the guy who won, look at him, blows two at a time. And songs, makes songs and all of that.
That's impressive.
Yeah. I just thought that was fun. Okay, all right. You know how timing, just synchronicity and all of that I talk about? Well, this, I'm sure, is all coming about because of the show we're doing next week, or in relating to all of that. But if you haven't heard the news, and I'll tell you, I heard this week, and it just makes me sick to my stomach. But Woodland Park has artificially inseminated Chai the elephant again. And I don't know how much you know about this one, this situation, Helen.
No, don't know anything.
Well, you know, we've got the three elephants at Woodland Park, Bamboo, Chai, and Watoto. And their habitat is less than an acre, and they don't get it. They don't get it full time. It's a pretty deplorable situation. And of course, Chai's last baby, Hansa, died an excruciatingly painful death, a year or two ago, due to an incurable strain of herpes. That we now know that Watoto, the African elephant that lives with Chai, who's the one that's been artificially inseminated, that Watoto carries this herpes virus. There's no way to cure it and all of that. So, if you want to hear the story, look up Seattle Times, a story about the artificial insemination. And next week, of course, we will be getting into the elephant situation. We're doing a whole show on the elephants. And so, you know, we will be talking specifically about Woodland Park Zoo and the three elephants there. We will have in the studio two local experts. Aline Fortang, who is the co-founder of Friends of Woodland Park Zoo Elephants. And I have a list of everybody who will be here.
How much land do these animals, these elephants have?
One less acre? Than an acre, and they don't have it full time.
We see elephants, we just basically live with elephants in the Serengeti and so forth for extended times, and one elephant needs more than 1 acre.
Oh, absolutely.
Just one.
Absolutely. So Aline will be with us along with Nancy Farnham, who is the director of Sound Animal Rights Alliance. They'll be in the studio with us. We'll be talking to Catherine Boyle, who's an expert on elephants with In Defense of Animals, and she is an expert on elephants in zoos, not only locally but nationally, so we'll hear all about that. Dr. Mel Richardson will join us, who is a former Woodland Park Zoo veterinarian, and so he'll be able to comment specifically on the Woodland Park Zoo and the elephants. And then we will spend the last hour with Carol Buckley, who's the founder and director of the Elephant Sanctuary in Tennessee, who have offered to pay all the expenses to permanently transport our elephants and set them up in the sanctuary in Tennessee, you know, which is thousands of acres, which is more in line with what elephants need. So that will be our show next week. So it's going to be really important to hear it's not going to be pleasant, I'll tell you that right now. Mm-hmm. But we need to hear it, and we need to do something. And because these elephants are miserable.
Oh, yeah.
And then the following week on our Shelter Rescue Sanctuary Update Sunday, the last half hour of the show, Robin and Alexis will join us, and Sandy and Robin and I will spend a half hour talking to the elephants. So after we give you all the information, and of course we've already cleared this first with them, so we'll be talking about them and doing the whole show next week. Then the following week we'll check in with Spirit on a higher level and talk with these elephants, and that should be very enlightening. All right, now I think. Let's see. Let's stay on track here, and we will take care of our advertisers and sponsors. Then we will come back and do the best good news about animals and start, and then we talk Africa. Woohoo! Now, before we get started here, let me give you phone numbers, because it is time for Robin Alexis Soul Spa giveaway. You will need your username and password, and you must be, this is for new members only, to the Soul Spa on robinalexis.com. It is absolutely phenomenal. This is a $300 value, which is why we want to make sure you can navigate the website, and why you really want, and that you really want to win it, because it's very coveted by those of us that love it. Sandy, you're a member. I'm a member. We do the Sunday evening meditations, the Monday evening meditations, and then there are the full moon and the new moon meditations, which are participated by people around the world. And, of course, the more that join, the more powerful they are. And a lot of perks. You get discounted fees for Robin's one-on-one sessions. You get free e-books, her two books. And then, not to mention, you get individual attention through the forums on the website. And Robin's on there all the time and responds immediately. So www.robinalexis.com. If you don't have your username and password, you can get it for free. You just have to sign up for the new newsletter, or you can join the 1 month free Soul Spa trial, which anyone can do, but new members only. Here are the numbers. You will be put on hold when you call, because Sandy will let the phone lines fill up, and then she intuitively picks a call. So, local number, 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. And toll free, 888-298-5569. That's 1-888-298-5569. So pick up your phone, give us a call now, and if you get put on hold, just stay there, because you still may be the winner. And with that, we will take care of our advertisers and sponsors, and as we continue, we'll do the best good news about animals, and then we're going to Africa. Oh boy, stay with us. Animal World continues. Helen and Bill Thayer are here, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, did you know that even if you feed the highest quality all-natural foods, even if you home cook for your animal friends, the ingredients in that food are exposed to heat, light, and oxygen, and that begins to destroy a lot of the important stuff. That's why Designing Health has created the Missing Link. They start with human-grade, all whole-natural raw food sources. They've perfected a way to protect it from heat, light, and oxygen. It comes to us in a powdered form in a resealable gold foil pouch. You keep it in the refrigerator once you've opened it, mix up your animal friend's food, and add in the Missing Link, a little cool water to mix it in, and voila, you've added what's missing, like the balanced omega-3 and 6 oils, the enzymes in the raw ingredients, the fiber. There is a Missing Link formula for dogs and one for cats. And by the way, it eliminates excessive shedding problems in dogs and eliminates hairball problems in cats. There's a vegetarian formula you can feed to both your dogs and cats and other house critters like rabbits, guinea pigs, and the like. There is a bird formula and a horse formula and a Missing Link Plus with glucosamine for connective tissue and joint support in a dog and horse formula. So ask for the Missing Link wherever you shop for premium pet supplies. Or you can go directly to Designing Health. Give them a call at 800-774-7387. That's 800-774-7387. Or visit them online at www.designinghealth.com.
Call karma specialist and metaphysical mother Robin Alexis for your free on-air readings. Wednesdays at 12 noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Psychic medium Robin Alexis helps countless people to live fuller and more conscious lives on Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis. Call Wednesdays for your free on-air readings and hear rebroadcasts of Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis Thursdays at 8 p.m. And check out Robin's Soul Spa at robinalexis.com.
Massage is good for everyone, including your pets. Learn animal massage close to home at the Northwest School of Animal Massage. Teaching pet owners and horse owners since 2001, the Northwest School of Animal Massage offers flexible online and hands-on classes, transforming your life and the lives of your animals. To learn more about animal health and well-being, go to NWSAM.com and check Pet Shop Talk. And for more information about animal massage classes or Reiki classes, go to NWSAM.com or call 877-836-3703. That's 877-836-3703.
Hi, I'm Dawn Stansfield, and I would like to invite you to listen to my show live Monday through Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. here on Alternative Talk 1150 a.m. as my guests and I explore and discuss the values of spirituality and how it can create our overall wealth within our lives. Tune in and listen live to the Dawn Stansfield Show Monday through Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
For over a decade, In Clover has made quality natural supplements so that age 10 may become the new 6 for your dog or cat, living a vibrant, active, healthy life. In Clover uses the best of science to design supplements for wellness that work and work fast. Dogs showed significant improvement within 15 days of starting Connectin. In Clover's fast, all-in-one joint supplement. Connectin's 9 natural herbs work synergistically to further support joint health. In Clover's products are made in the USA with only the finest ingredients. Go to InClover.com to find a retailer near you.
Karma specialist and founder of Metaphysical Mothering, Robin Alexis, is nurturing, powerful, and phenomenally gifted. Her books and personal one-on-one phone sessions can change your life forever. And now she's channeled the Mary Magdalene Reiki Healing Energy Portal. And she's created the Robin Alexis Online Soul Spa. Come to her website, robinalexis.com, for details on how to get a free month subscription to her online soul spa. Robin invites you to share your comments and metaphysical experiences on her forum and blog, and she invites you to take advantage of the free month subscription to her online soul spa at robinalexis.com. Robin uses her ability as a medium, medical intuitive, and healer to assist you in removing blockages so you can experience life more fully. You can call her for a private session at 360-457-2993. Or you can email her at robin@robinalexis.com.
Get a grip on life with Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and I want to say thank you for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Although, I think I have to say, Sandy, I'm not sure that we're convinced that anyone is listening to us right now. Maybe you forgot to... They forgot to spring forward. But on the Robin Soul Spa giveaway, we had callers, but no one that qualified. So the free one-year subscription to Robin Alexis's Soul Spa giveaway is still available. So you have time to go to www.robinalexis.com, sign up for the free membership to the website, which gives you your username and password. You must be a new member to the Soul Spa to get this free subscription. But as long as you have your username and password, Sandy can give it to you. So give us a call when you get that done, because the first person that calls that qualifies is going to get the free year's subscription. So get busy. All right. Now, before we get to the best good news about animals, Helen and I were just talking here, and in the article about Woodland Park's chai artificially inseminated, that was, let's see, that's in the Seattle Times, and it's very recent. Was it yesterday? It was Friday or Saturday. Let's see. It was Friday. And there's a picture of chai, who is the one that's been artificially inseminated. So there's a picture of her at the zoo. Then what I had... And for the good news about animals, you know, I always put great photographs in that category. And there's a reader postcard that was in last Sunday's Seattle Times. And this is from a gal. She sent this in. The location was, Pylonsburg, Game Reserve in South Africa. Have you heard of that, Helen? So that's for the Game Reserve in South Africa. She said, we had one of those magical moments when the elephant crossed the road right in front of us. This male elephant showed off a bit for us by shaking his head and throwing his trunk in the air. So there's the photograph. See, Gary, the photograph of the elephant in the Game Reserve. And then Chai at Woodland Park. Now, even showing these photographs to Helen, now, what did you say about these elephants?
Well, the one that, the elephant that's the Woodland Park Zoo elephant, you don't see an elephant looking like that in the wild. That's a depressed animal. Mm-hmm. The other photo of in the Game Reserve in South Africa, that's how we could almost reach out and touch some of the elephants that we've been amongst, just in the wild. They're wild elephants.
This is just recently in your trip?
Even this last time. And their trunks are swinging, and they look at you, but they're placid, and they're happy, and doing things.
And you say they're very animated.
Yeah, very much so.
Which you can just, this is just a classic example in these photographs of this one in the Game Reserve. His tail is up and swinging, his trunk is swinging, his ears are up and forward, he looks, his energy's bright and alert. The picture of Chai, her energy just looks really dark. Her head is down, the trunk is down, the ears are folded in, and she just...
You don't see them like that in the wild.
There's a difference of day and night in these photographs.
No, that's a... It's just not, that's not the way to keep elephants.
No. So, and it's finally time. We have not taken a stand on this issue. Well, we did a program on the elephants three years ago or something when this issue came up, because Sandy and I, we went out to Woodland Park Zoo, we met everybody, we saw the environment, and even though it, you know, the care they get is the absolute best they can get. And the people caring for them are wonderful and very intelligent and very knowledgeable, and they do the best job they can. The bottom line is they don't have enough space.
And the space is the problem. It's not the people.
No, it's not.
The only problem is space. They need to go to a place where they have room to move as elephants should.
Now the big push was to move Bamboo at that time, because she had just come back from, sent her down to the Tacoma Zoo, Point Defiance, and she didn't do well there, and they brought her back, and the push was to send her to the sanctuary. So we went out, talking to Bamboo, what we found out is that she was very bonded with one of her caretakers that had been with her for like 3 years or something. And after, she was totally in love with this man, she did not want to leave him. So we supported Bamboo at that point, that she wanted to stay. Well, that man's now retired, and she never sees him. Mm. And she's miserable. And so are the other elephants. Mm-hmm. So we are taking a stand. So you will hear all about that next week. All right, Gary. You know what time it is?
9:43.
Good call. It is time for the best good news about animals. Woohoo! Speaking of Gary Singh, it's 9:43 when I look at the clock, says it's 8:43. Think we'll have any disappointed listeners that tune in at 9 o'clock and say, oops, it's really 10 o'clock. Okay. All right, so that sunshine, hopefully that will keep the sunshine going today. Now, the first good news, potentially good news about animals, I have a question mark here, because now I don't know if it's good or not. So this is going to temporarily go on hold until next week, because there was a baby elephant born at the Australian Zoo, and they thought it was stillborn, but then so that's what everybody thought, and after it popped out, it wasn't dead. Everybody thought it was dead, so they had to call everybody back, and they're calling it a miracle and all of that. So I'm postponing whether or not this is good news until we get into next week's show and find out from our elephant and zoo experts if this Australian zoo has a great habitat. Because if they don't have a great habitat, then the birth of this baby is not good news at all. So there you go. We'll find that out next week. All right. Here in our local area, Pierce County. It's always good when, you know, the good guys get the bad guys, and this time it's the help of a dog. A 22-year-old man was treated Wednesday for a grazing bullet wound to his head and a dog bite to his butt. This guy messed with the wrong people. He was trying to escape two Pierce County Sheriff's deputies just east of Puyallup. And, you know, he drove, like, down a dead-end street and then got out and ran. And he threatened the officers or something. And somehow they grazed him with a bullet. But then he ran off in the woods. So the canine unit came in. A good old canine dog went out there, got him right where it counts. So... don't mess around. Dogs are tough. All right. Oh, and this would be in the happening today category. If you haven't heard, this weekend is the big annual Seattle Kennel Club Dog Show. And in the best good news about animals, if you didn't see it yesterday, in Seattle Saturday's Seattle Times, in the Northwest Saturday section on the front page, there's a wonderful article about Chili and Sharon Colvin. Chili is a golden retriever. It says Chili is one hot dog, and he is one of the dogs being celebrated at the Seattle Kennel Club for all of the scoring and the titles and the stuff that he's earned as a top obedience champion. And Sharon Colvin, I have to say, I put it in the best good news because I've known Sharon as long as I've been doing dog stuff, because we're about the same age and grew up in the world of dogs together. And way back when I was training and showing my golden retrievers, so was she. She's still doing it. And so it's a great photograph of Chili jumping mm-hmm. over Sharon. And he just does all kinds of stuff, all kinds of competition stuff. But he also donates blood, and he also does therapy work and all that kind of stuff. So it's a great article. So read about Chili, and you can also find out about the dog show, because it's going on today down at the Quest Field Place. All right, another local article here, and this you can look up on at Seattle Times. It was last Sunday's edition. Biologist's fascination with octopus is endless. A great article about Roland Anderson. He was a night shift biologist at the Seattle Aquarium, and started 33 years ago. He fell in love with giant octopuses, and so he's an expert and has written a book. But it's a great article to pull up, because if you want to learn about giant octopus, it's a great article. I can't fill you in on everything, but pull it up, because it's a great article. All right, and then the winner of the best good news about animals. Did anybody do the Academy Awards last Sunday night? Anybody watching? Oh, I have a lot of takers here. Everybody was on board. Well, I standee-o'd the documentary of the year, went to the Cove. Okay, I get blank stares here. Well, the Cove is the documentary that was done about the dolphin slaughter in Japan. Okay, so it won Best Documentary, which is really, really good to bring this horrific slaughter to the attention of the world, and especially to the citizens of Japan, because most of the citizens in Japan don't know that this goes on. Now, dovetailing on our conversation last week, Japan has been crying Japan bashing by the United States, so they're not happy campers, and in fact are pretty upset that this documentary won the Academy Award. And it says the Japanese fishing village featured in The Cove, which won an Oscar for Best Documentary, defended its practice of hunting dolphins on Monday as part of its tradition. Residents of this remote village, nestled on the rocky coast of southwestern Japan, expressed disgust at the film, which they said distorted the truth, though few acknowledged seeing it. Okay. The covertly filmed movie, which mixes stunning underwater shots of gliding dolphins and grisly footage of their slaughter, also claims that dolphin meat is laden with toxic mercury, which is true. The Cove isn't meant to bash Japan, said the director. It is a love letter to the Japanese people. Our hope is the Japanese people will see this film and decide themselves whether these animals should be used for meat and entertainment. Now, the mayor's office handed out a statement that the Taiji's dolphin hunt is lawful and argued that the movie contained statements that were not based on science. Otherwise, most town officials refused to talk. There are different food traditions within Japan and around the world, the statement read. It is important to respect and understand regional food cultures, which are based on traditions with long histories. Well, my opinion of that is I'll respect and honor the traditions, but everybody has to change. We all have to change what we're doing on this. And just because there's a long history of tradition doesn't make it right or humane or fair or good. I mean, bullfighting in Spain, been going on for centuries, and it's a tradition, but does that make it humane and right and good? I don't think so.
Can't do it at the expense of animals.
Exactly, exactly. And this is really horrendous. And considering that the Japanese people don't eat much dolphin, it's really, it's quite strange. And even with the protests recently, apparently they released about 19 dolphins that they had captured they were going to put into the entertainment industry, but because of all this stuff, they released them, which that's a good thing. Now, then the end of this statement from Japan says, and this I think is also important, there are some countries that eat cows, and there are other countries that eat whales or dolphins. Fisheries Division Director of the Foreign Ministry of Japan said. He says, quote, a film about slaughtering cows or pigs might also be unwelcome to workers in that industry. Now, I totally agree with that. Now, I think there is a difference between eating cows and eating dolphins or whales, but I don't think there's a difference when it comes to the truth being shed on factory farming in this country and how we treat these cows and pigs. And I would welcome a film, and I know many of us would welcome a film, a true film on factory farming, because we need to change our ways too. We all need to change. So there you go. That is my opinion. So bring it on. Let's have a documentary about factory farming in this country and show us the truth, and then maybe we'll change. We all change. And there we go. That concludes the best good news about animals. The Cove won. Yay. All right. So, Helen, it's so good to have you back. And for anyone that doesn't know, if you haven't checked out the website, www.helenthayer.com, take a look at what these folks have done. Now, In many circles, it might be considered rude to ask someone how old they are or their age. But the two of you, you're proud of your age. So just to let everybody know.
Well, I'm 72, and Bill is 83, and we're both recycled teenagers.
Uh-huh, 72 and 83. Now, just to give you an idea, Helen, I think the first and I think only woman to ever walk solo to the magnetic North Pole.
That's right.
And you did that when you were 50. Mm-hmm. Holy mackerel. And then I believe you celebrated your 60th birthday by yourself with a frozen cupcake at the South Pole.
In the Antarctic, yes.
In the Antarctic, yep. And then you and Bill took a year with Charlie, your wolf dog, who was your companion on your trek to the magnetic North Pole. You spent a year living with wolves up in the Canadian and Alaskan Yukon area.
That's right. Wild wolves.
Mm-hmm. Wild wolves, and that was phenomenal. And your books are incredible. You have three so far. Polar Dream, which is your story of the trek to the magnetic North Pole. And I'll tell you, folks, I could read that book over and over again. It is so exciting. And then Three Among the Wolves, That was your story about living with the wild wolves, which mm-hmm. is absolutely phenomenal. I cried like a baby when I finished that book, and part of it was because I was crying because you were separating from the wolves, mm-hmm. but I was also crying because the book was over. I didn't want it to end. It was so good. And then your third book was Walking the Gobi.
That's right.
And that the two of you, how mm-hmm. old were you when you walked the Gobi?
I was 63 and Bill was 74.
And so you're one of the few humans that have ever walked the Gobi Desert.
We're the first and so far the only man and woman to walk the entire length of the 1,600 miles of the Gobi.
And absolutely incredible. And you did that with two camels.
Yes.
Tom and Jerry?
We called them Tom and Jerry. We walked all the way because we're walkers. We don't use animals for transportation. But they carried our food and water and gear. And Bill would leave one and I'd lead the other. And off we went across the desert.
And you've had incredible experiences because we've talked to you about you have also trekked the Amazon.
Yeah,
we've done that more than a couple.
In the Amazon and the Pantanal twice, 1,200 miles the first time, 1,000 miles the next, and we walked 4,000 miles across the Sahara Desert, and we've done a lot of treks. We've trekked several hundred miles in Alaska and the Yukon, and so...
So we call you adventure travelers, which mm-hmm. you really are, and you have some wonderful creations related to that. But I remember stories of you and your kayak on the Amazon mm-hmm. and a swarm of killer bees mm-hmm. coming straight at you and deciding, well, do we do the bees or do we jump in to get out of the bees and face the piranhas? You guys jumped in.
Yep. Yeah.
And you've been shot at... And been in serious trouble more than once mm-hmm. on several different adventures. And I know we have folks listening that have never heard you before and even haven't been able to check out your website. So, you know, as we finish up this hour, I just want to kind of fill them in on why we think you guys are so spectacular. Let's go way back to the beginning. You grew up in New Zealand.
That's right. I was born and raised in New Zealand and began climbing mountains with my parents and Sir Edmund Hillary, the first person to summit Mount Everest. I began climbing with them at age 9. And that's where my mountain climbing career, my outdoor career started.
So you actually knew Sir Edmund.
Yes, he was a neighbor and a friend.
A neighbor and a friend. How cool is that?
Very inspirational man, very special person.
And so now at this time in your life, what have we decided? You've climbed Mount Rainier 21 times?
Yes, and I've climbed many other high mountains around the world. And it was really on top of peak communism at almost 25,000 feet that I had this idea that I wanted to share my experiences with other people, and so in the time it took us 3 weeks to get off the mountain and then weeks following, I decided on the name Adventure Classroom. I'd take my stories of the four corners of the world to students K-12.
Yeah, so not only are you having phenomenal adventures, but you are sharing that information mm-hmm. with the youth of the planet and, mm-hmm. and helping them understand different places, different cultures,
right.
Not only the people, the animals, the mm-hmm. earth, and it's all about taking care
We really emphasize, we tell them, the kids, I have several programs, spoken to over 1 million kids since 1988, actually in schools, and we not only tell them the stories of our adventures, but we use those as a vehicle to take in the message of setting goals, planning for success, being the best you can be, solving the problems, and don't give up on yourself. But mm. also, as we speak of the various cultures around the world, we are working to instill intercultural respect, mm. realizing that a kid in the middle of the Gobi Desert or a bushman in Africa might never, ever see the inside of a classroom as we know it. But they know things that and do things that we have no capability whatsoever. So we're all equal in the end.
Well, I remember one of the things that has particularly impressed me that you have shared is in the different places, because you go into areas that most of us would never, ever mm-hmm. be able to go, and you live with the natives as they live out in the middle of nowhere where they have nothing.
That's right.
But every time you come back, you say, these people, they don't have squat compared to us.
Material things.
But they're happy.
Yeah, they have.
They're happy.
They
and you find a simplicity and a happiness.
They don't own the material goods as we know them. but they have many other things. They have peace, the quiet, the lack of stress. They know their environment. They know the animals, and they have it all together.
All right. Now, before we close out this hour, just briefly, so you grew up on the farm in New Zealand, and now Bill is quite a bit older than you are. What, 11 years?
He's 11 years older.
And he was a pilot back then, and didn't your parents, he was hired to come in and, like, spray your crops or something?
Yes, and then we met, and his helicopter pilot, we met, and then a couple of years later, we were married in New Zealand, and